So let me pray and we'll start. Father God, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and help us to hear you, to be challenged and to be changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I'm looking at this whole topic of endurance. Now, the previous chapter is all about heroes of faith. I'm not going to recap on that. But actually, often there's heroes in our lives, aren't there, that we look at and think, actually, that story there is quite inspirational. Okay. One of my favourites is this guy here. Okay. This is a man called Cliffy Young. Cliffy Young's an Australian. Cliffy Young he's dead now, actually, was a potato and sheep farmer, okay? And Cliffy Young turned up one day to run the marathon, the race, which goes between Melbourne and Sydney, which is 875 kilometres, okay? He turned up dressed like that. So in fact, because he had his overalls on and his boots. And everybody else who turned up, this is a race been going for hundreds of years, for about 100 years, and he turned up to run this, dressed like this. Everybody else is in Lycra and has got running shoes, and they're all fit, and they do ultra marathons, okay? And so Cliffy turned up, nobody quite sure why. I think it was some sort of bet, I think, sort of, you know, that he could do this. And so he was A, lot older than everybody else, and B, he was dressed in work boots and an overall. And Cliffy Young finished the race 9 hours before everybody else. So much so that actually for the last day, he never saw anybody. And he thought that they'd all finished and gone home. And what it was is Cliffy Young had never heard about this race before. He just thought the logic was you didn't stop. Now, generally, what people did is they ran for about sort of 14 hours, then they stopped and they slept, and they ran again, and Cliffy didn't. So he just carried on running. He just ran all night. And he developed this little shuffling type of run, which he used to use running around his sheep farm, which uses very little energy and very little drag on you. And that's what Cliffy did. And in fact, now, ultramarathon runners run like he runs. Okay, now he's my hero. Why? Because he didn't know anything about it, and he just kept on going. Now you imagine 875 kilometres. I don't know what that is in miles, but that's a long way. And there is a point at where he just endured and endured and endured. And he didn't know that you were supposed to. He just thought this endurance, this toughness, this pain, this lack of sleep was just part of the way that you ran this race. He didn't know any difference. That should be the same for our Christian life. We're talking about endurance. And the fact is that actually we are called to endure because it is tough. And that is something that we should know. Cliffy Young just thought it was just part of the way you did the race. It is just part of the way that we do our Christian life. And that's what this passage in Hebrews is all about. It's telling us this isn't going to be easy. It's not going to be straightforward. It's going to be tough. In fact, we've got an advantage over Cliffy because it's written down for us and we can read it. Cliffy probably could have worked it out if he'd have talked to a few people, but he didn't, which is just truly wonderful. So anyway, he's one of my heroes. I really like him. Because actually our endurance is a spiritual endurance. It's a race. We are trying to actually finish the race and knowing it's not always going to be easy. As we said, Hebrews, the previous chapter tells us there's a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. And that's sort of in the previous few verses which was preached on last week. But actually it's going to look about the difficulties and trials that we're going through. And that's what we need to look at now. So I think the first thing is that we are doing is that actually we are struggling. So verse 3 is verse 3 recaps and says that actually it's about hostility. That's what we looked at last week. We are suffering because, and therefore we shouldn't give up. And look at verse 4. In your struggles against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. It's saying that actually Christ, in his struggling, shed his blood. Now, we're not called to that yet, but it's going to be hard. And for some people, it may require that. Our first encouragement is that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, because actually he is the one that goes before us. He did shed his blood for us in the endurance that he went through. We could also endure, like Christ did, to the point of death. And some people have. I heard this week of what's happening in Afghanistan. And actually, the persecution against Christians has ramped up. From the sort of the language of we are different people, we're more moderate. The reality is that's not the truth. And the Christians are, and actually everybody has to register their religion. And listen to the piece yesterday, was saying that actually they're all Muslim converts. So their life is going to be made very difficult, and they're being persecuted. And some of them will actually probably have resist and be like Christ. And actually the shedding of blood will be the thing which will be part of their endurance. But for most of us, that's not what we're called to do. It doesn't mean we, it's not about that. It's more about the fact it's a mindset. That actually we're not necessarily called to do that, but we should be. We live in a very comfortable part of the world, don't we? Where being a Christian is, you know, the level of opposition we get is sort of, you know, slight teasing, bit of mickey taking, and sometimes some regulations at work. You know, but actually we don't live in a place where actually this is actually life and death stuff by coming to church. Our struggle is against sin, and it is very costly for us. And actually we need to have that attitude that we are not called to shed our blood, but we could do. Because actually if we read, it says you're struggling against sin, it says here in verse 4. Hardships are going to happen because we are struggling against sin. If it was a breeze for all of us, we wouldn't have to struggle. It's a bit like the endurance race. If it was that easy, everybody would have just not stopped. But we need to hear that and accept it, that the Christian life is a struggle against sin for each of us. And each of us knows what that different struggle is. Because for each of us, it's different. Because if we were all prone to the same sort of temptations and sins, it'd be really straightforward, because we could all sort of, you know, work that out. You know, this is what we all fail with, and we don't. Because what people are saying is, what we're saying is, nobody ever says Christian life is easy, and that's the point made in chapter 10 and 11 of Hebrews. Life is going to be hard because you're fighting sin, you're struggling against it, because we're in a spiritual battle. And therefore, the devil doesn't want us to finish the race well. And therefore, he's going to go throw everything he possibly can at you. And it is going to be tough, and it's going to be hard. And as we grow in our faith and we become transformed into the image of Christ, on what's called ongoing sanctification, the sort of the fact that we are ongoingly made more like Christ, more holy because of what we learn and what we endure. That actually it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult, because actually the same sins which we keep wrestling with are the same sins which actually will build us up. Which I know sounds really very difficult to comprehend, but that's the reality of it. So our first encouragement is to recognise we suffer, but we, at the moment, haven't been called to shed blood. But Jesus did, so he knows what this is like. We are not called to do something that Christ hasn't actually said he would do. Second thing we need to think about is the fact that actually we are being treated as children. So it says in the passage that verses 5 to 11 says, you've been treated as children, God is our Father. You endure your suffering as discipline, God is treating you as a son. The author quotes here of Hebrews, quotes Proverbs, where Solomon is speaking to his son about how to look at the discipline of the Lord. The message of the quotation is not to lose heart when experiencing God's discipline. God disciplines the ones he loves, And the writer here is saying that to us. Hardship and suffering is the discipline of God. God treats us as children. And when we love our children, we discipline them, yeah? As much as they don't like it, as much as it's difficult, but it's for their own good. When they look back, they thank you one day. Lily will one day thank them. I know it's very hard for you to comprehend that at the moment, but it's coming, you know, one day. We need to actually, I think, stop at this point and actually deal with something which actually has been misunderstood. Because when we speak about discipline, discipline's an incredibly negative word. And what we tend to think of here is that we're being disciplined because we've done something wrong. And because that's the automatic thing with children, isn't it? That they do something wrong, therefore you discipline them. But actually, that's not necessarily always the case, of course, for children, because we don't do that. Because sometimes we discipline them about how to live a life to try and protect them before they make all the mistakes we know they're going to walk into and all those sort of things. But we try. And so it's not about punishment. And actually, I want us to hear that, because it's not. This book of Hebrews was not designed actually from people who were wandering away who needed to be punished and reminded they need to go back to Jesus, to God, and following him. It is not what this is about. This isn't a punishment. This isn't the reason that you are suffering in your faith is because of the fact that you have disobeyed God and he is actually punishing you. That's not what the writer is saying here. He's saying because we struggle with sin, we all do, that's part of the discipline. This isn't some sort of judgment. This isn't punishment. And we need to hold on to that. It's a message which has said that the Christians are suffering, they're struggling against sin, they're enduring for Christ's sake, they have been insulted and imprisoned and lost, but actually they're not being punished, they're being refined. It's to look at our trials and our suffering as teaching and training and instruction from God, which, to be honest, is really hard when you're in the middle of it. It's much harder, much easier when you come out the other end of it. In the middle of it, you're a bit like, you know, why? And then when you come out, you think, that's why. It's that wisdom of hindsight. So Scripture declares to us that God is teaching us and transforming us and refining us through suffering and trials. James, Peter, Paul all write this in the New Testament. They all talk about this. This is a recurring theme. Jesus talks about it. You will suffer much and be rejected in my name. And this fits beautifully with what the writer of Hebrews declares. Because he's saying that actually that our Father corrects us and teaches us and trains us and instructs us. Therefore, how much more is the Heavenly Father? It says here, besides, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be a subject to the Father of spirits and live? That actually he is training our souls. He is training us as individuals through our trials and our struggles. It is good for us and it helps us to share in his holiness. Our suffering has a purpose. Our suffering has a goal. It's important for us to hear, though, that we have encouragements in our difficulties. God allows the trials and suffering that we are experiencing as training and instruction for our souls. Because it teaches us, it refines us, it helps us. What he does, he doesn't come in and stop it happening before it's going to happen. We are products of our own choices in some ways. We do something and God knows it's not what we should be doing. We know in our heart of hearts it's not what we should be doing. God doesn't intervene. He works with us in it. He comes into the depths and works with us to help us to come out of the other end. Note the conclusion which is drawn in verse 11. Verse 11 says this. It says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than unpleasant, but it later yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained in it. So though it's not nice, we get fruit that comes out of it. God works on our hearts. It transforms us. It develops us. It actually teaches us about holiness of living and righteous living. And it helps us walk with other people. It's much easier to walk with people who've been through a similar thing to we have. Because it's easier for us to say, actually, when that happened to me, this is how I was strengthened through it. It's hard when you're actually trying to walk with somebody who actually, what they're suffering, you have no experience of. You can empathise, but you don't understand. We all know that. And it's the writer of Hebrews here isn't detailing out exactly what it's going to look like. He's just saying, it's just going to be, it's going to happen. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. However, out of it will come something beautiful. The peaceful fruit of righteousness. That we will grow through it. But only if we allow it to. Because actually, for some people, they can go through this and come out the other end and say, that was just too hard. I'm walking away. And what he's saying is, stay with it. I'll be with you. And the fruit of the outside will be much better. This is what God's intention for all of us is. So what do we need to do? How do we need to sort of, you know, have a different view of this? Well, I think these verses are great in terms of what it says. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. Make straight the paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. This is a wonderful metaphor, isn't it? It is almost a boxing imagery, isn't it? It's the fact that the hands are dropped, the knees are weak, and therefore one punch will take you down. That's the image you've got here of this person saying, I'm out for the count here. Well, he will be in a minute. And what he's saying is, actually, it's really hard. You know, lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, and be prepared for the fight. And we can all empathise with that. And so that's the first thing that we need to take away from this, that actually we need to respond to this. We need to see how tough it is. And, you know, it's that whole sort of, you know, 1980s classic, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. No, I'm not going to sing it. But it's that's where we are in that sort of, we are at that. If you didn't get that, you're far too young. Anyway, so that's where we are with it. And I think that we need to recognise that we need to prepare ourselves because it's going to be tough. And some of you know that. You've been through tough times. And you know what this feels like. We lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight the path for your feet. Because it is about this sort of being prepared for it. So don't stop coming to church. Don't stop praying. Don't stop reading your Bible. Don't stop trying to listen to God, even when it's really hard. Because that's this, you know, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your knees and make straight the path. Because that's what it's talking about, isn't it? That's the metaphor we're going for. It's that whole thing of we need to not do the things which are going to defend us, other Christians, the word, God speaking to us. They're the things we shouldn't stop doing. You know, it's the whole bit of this is just too tough. I'm just going to drop out of church. Tends to mean that you have dropped your guard entirely and one punch is just going to take you out. And we're being called here not to do that. We've been called to protect ourselves, to recognise that actually, even when it's really hard, even when you come and it just feels like you're going through the motions, even when you're in a meeting like this and it's sort of drifting over you and you come out and somebody says, what was church today? Oh, it was fine. But you don't remember anything. Or when you do your Bible reading, and you read it, and if somebody said to you, so what was that about? You'd be like, I don't remember, but I've done it and I've ticked it off my list because that's part of what I'm doing. Or your prayers are literally just, Help me. That's all I can do. But it's important to keep going. It's important to keep doing that. It's important to keep going through those motions, because actually that will help us endure. One of the things that we've found with COVID and the return to church from COVID is lots of people have lost the habit of going to church. That's why they don't come back. They've replaced it with something. They've replaced it with a park run. They've replaced it with going for a walk with their family. They've replaced it with something. And so what they've done is they've dropped their hands and they've made their knees weak. And actually, it's really easy for them to be picked off. They probably all say they still believe in God. I don't know. There isn't much evidence to say that there's been a mass abandonment of faith. There's very little evidence to say that. There's quite a lot of evidence to say, actually, there's now more people who are interested in spiritual stuff and who are exploring something. There's quite a lot of evidence to tell us that. There isn't a huge amount of evidence to say that the pandemic has actually rocked everybody's faith. What it has done is actually people have just stopped getting into the habit. They've stopped learning how to endure. Or they're enduring really easily, because let's face it, it's much easier to endure from, you know, from your pyjamas and slippers with a cup of coffee. Or you think it is. But it's a con, really, isn't it? Because you can't. Because where's the fellowship? And let's face it, as good as Zoom coffee was, yeah, I won't even finish the sentence, really. We were all glad when it stopped. You know, it was like, you know, it was lovely to see everybody's faces. But it was nice when it stopped. Purely because it was nice to be with people, to be with other Christians, to challenge and support each other and see how that goes. The passage is really clear about it, because actually they say it's going to be hard, it's going to be tough, it's going to be difficult. But actually, if we don't endure and we don't do these things, we don't keep going, it's going to be really hard for us. 2 Timothy says, endure hardship, good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardship, good soldier of Jesus Christ. The book of Timothy says this is going to be reality. The book of Hebrews says it's going to be reality. The book of James says it's going to be reality. We need to endure. We need to have a faith that is disciplined. You will struggle with sin daily. We all do. We're not alone. It's not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of I'm not as good a Christian as the person down the road. It's part of who we are. The trials of life are going to come upon you, and they at some points may even start to overwhelm you. But that's where we need to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. We need to make sure that we have submitted ourselves to God's teaching about trials and struggles, even when we don't like what the Bible says about it. Because that's the time also when we can drop out, is when we read what the Bible says about a particular trial and struggle and go, yeah, I don't like that. So they say it's not the parts of the Bible. It's not the parts of the Bible. The parts of the Bible I struggle with are not the bits that I don't understand. It's the bits that I do understand, because they're the bits that really point a finger at me and go, yeah, you're not really like that, are you? We need to submit to God's teaching. In our trials and our struggles, we need to actually ensure that it brings us closer walk with Jesus day by day. And we will never give up the disciplines that we are called to do. Look to your difficulties. Look to the things that are hard for you. And remember, endure hardship, good soldier of Christ. Never give up praying. Never give up reading your Bibles. Never give up coming to church. Never give up spending time with other Christians and encouraging them, supporting them. Never give up having time with God. Never give up worship. Never give up any of these things, even when they're really hard. And that's what this passage sort of says. It's hard. It's tough. It's going to be difficult. But don't give up. In 875 kilometres, there must have been huge points when people think, you know what? I'm done. I think mine would have been about kilometre 3. But anyway, I'm done. But you don't finish the race. You've got to keep going. You've got to be like Cliffy Young. It's just the way it is. To get to the end, you've got to go through this. I've got to endure to get there. What are you enduring in at the moment? What are the things which are really hard for you at the moment? Or perhaps they have been hard for you. And if you just come out of a time where it's been really tough for you, what's God taught you through that? We don't spend a lot of time reflecting, do we? We don't spend a lot of time thinking, actually, what have I learned? We tend to push on to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. But actually, what have you learned? What have you learned through the tough times? What have you learned through the endurance? And how does it help you next time? Endure hardships, good soldiers of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for its challenge and its encouragement. Father, we know that we are going to struggle, and it is going to be part of the way that we live. But help us to continue as faithful soldiers, as servants of Christ to the end of our lives. Help us never to give in. Help us to never stop. Help us to always know that you endured more than we can ever bear. And help us to be prepared to endure for the sake of our faith, the sake of the gospel, and the sake of the kingdom of God. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.